This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, the stranded astronauts are heading back to Earth, which gives the left another reason to hate Elon Musk. We're waiting on the release of the JFK files. Hopefully that will happen very, very soon. And some breaking news around the United States Secret Service. Welcome back to the show. It is our 5 o'clock happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Our dates for our shows are posted. It is going to be on Friday, June 20th, and Friday, August 15th, Friday, 10/31 Halloween, and Friday, December 19th for our Christmas spectacular. Joining me now, she is the author of the book Fool's Gold. It is the must-read book about how the left destroyed California and the lessons we need to learn from it. She is also an investigative reporter. She is Susan Crabtree, at Susan Crabtree. Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. So I want to just read a tweet that you just posted a short time ago on X. Secret Service exclusive, agent alleges retaliation after Biden grandchild incident. The USS is not an Uber service. That just something you just posted a short time ago, Susan Crabtree. What's that all about?
Well, this is one of two posts that I'm going to be doing in the next 24 to 48 hours on retaliation against Secret Service agents that blow the whistle on agency corruption and DEI policies, other problems, cronyism, favoritism in the Secret Service. This in particular agent filed a lawsuit, and it's an extensive lawsuit. This is just one component of it. But I thought since the Bidens, Ashley Biden and Hunter Biden, had their Secret Service canceled yesterday, that this was extremely relevant because this lawsuit still is moving forward. The agent put a stop to one of Maisie Biden's, Hunter Biden's daughter. It's not known whether they were drinking. That wasn't mentioned in the lawsuit, but you can read between the lines. There was a late night of partying and going to dance clubs. This agent was ferrying Maisie Biden and her friends around. One of Maisie Biden's was aggressively asking the special agent to stop and let them go to a different destination than Maisie's final destination. That's not best practices in Secret Service policy. They don't like to, act as an Uber service. So the Secret Service agent said, we're not an Uber service. We're going to get Maisie to her destination. And if you would like to ride along, that's fine. I'm not, going all over town here tonight with you guys partying. And Maisie actually, according to the agent's lawsuit, Maisie actually thanked him at the end of the night and apologized for her friend's, you know, behavior. But then a few days later, the agent gets confronted by a supervisor who tells him, hey, what was this incident? You're going to have to write a memo about this, and you're going to have to, you please don't include, and basically instructed him not to include any damaging or negative information about Maisie or her friends and their behavior that night. So he was basically telling him to sanitize the memo. This agent believes, among other things, that this was held against him and one of the reasons why he was basically not promoted, repeatedly not promoted for several years in the Secret Service. He's not putting up with this type of bad behavior from the Bidens. And some of the other problems within the Secret Service, this whistleblower also complained about.
You kind of broke up there at the end a little bit, Susan, but this is one of two posts you're going to be making at Susan so, Crabtree.
With me.
And yeah, you're kind of breaking up. You know, Matt, let's try to reconnect with Susan if we could, because we're losing her big time here. We'll see if we can get her back on. If we have to just do the phone, that's okay, too. We're having some audio issues, but we'll work it out. We'll get Susan back on. Just let me know when she's there. Yeah, no problem. And just while we're waiting for her, just so you know that the abandoned astronauts are returning home in a SpaceX capsule. This comes after that goofball who was an astronaut, Mark Kelly, sold his Tesla for a gas-guzzling SUV, which I'm all for gas-guzzling SUVs, but he bought a Tesla because he was trying to show his green bona fides, and now he sold it. He's an astronaut, and you've got literally now the abandoned astronauts are returning to home because of Elon Musk, and they're showing it live on NASA TV. They're streaming it. They're returning in a SpaceX capsule. The fact that they were up there for 9 months, the fact that it took so long to get them is ridiculous. Is Susan back? Okay, just text me when she's there. It's ridiculous that it took this long to get these astronauts back. It's a disgrace. It really is. It's an absolute disgrace. And the fact that the Biden administration did not want to bring them back for political reasons, I don't understand that. That makes no sense. I mean, there's a lot of stupid things I hear in politics sometimes, and I just kind of dismiss it because it sounds so ridiculous. But yeah, no, they didn't want to bring the astronauts home because they thought it would have looked political to rescue astronauts or something. I can't even comprehend how stupid that campaign was, other than they keep elevating their stupid game. This time now, Tim Walz coming out and essentially now challenging Trump supporters to fight because he says, I'm tired of all the attacks on my masculinity. Dude, you went out there flailing your arms like Richard Simmons in a bad workout video. And you, Tim Walz, are the one who put tampons in boys' bathrooms as the governor of Minnesota. You look like a goofball. You sound like a goofball. People attacked your masculinity because that's the only reason why you were chosen for the ticket. A white male. That's all they wanted you for. And you acted like the biggest beta male out there. So, yeah, you know what? If they had picked you because you were worthy of being picked, that'd be one thing. But that's not why you were picked. And we also have a lot of things with regards to China and Tim Walz. And that's what we got to get into as well. Because we know about his ties to the CCP. And it's crazy. And Susan Crabtree actually gets into that in her book as well. As of right now, and it is a little bit like 10 minutes after the hour, we still don't have anything on the Trump files. So it's very possible that maybe we'll get something. I don't know. But J.D. Vance, the vice president, will serve as the Republican National Committee's finance chair. He's going to work with the party to fully enact the MAGA mandate and grow the Republican majority in Congress in 2026. Let me tell you what that's about. What that's about is J.D. Vance is going to be the Republican nominee for president in 2028, because in doing so, he's going to make a lot of friends. He's going to raise a lot of money, and he'll be the nominee in 2028. I'd be shocked if that doesn't happen. Of course, politics is unpredictable, but you never know. Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, with a readout of President Trump's call with President Vladimir Putin. Today, President Trump and President Putin spoke about the need for peace and a ceasefire in the Ukraine war. Both leaders agreed this conflict needs to end with a lasting peace. They also stressed the need for improved bilateral relations between the United States and Russia. The blood and treasure that both Ukraine and Russia have been spending in this war would be better spent on the needs of their people. The readout of the call between Trump and Putin continues. This conflict should never have started and should have been ended a long time ago with sincere and good faith peace efforts. The leaders agreed that the movement to peace will begin with an energy and infrastructure ceasefire, as well as technical negotiations on implementation of a maritime ceasefire in the Black Sea. These negotiations will begin immediately in the Middle East. The leaders spoke broadly about the Middle East as a region of potential cooperation to prevent future conflicts. They further discussed the need to stop the proliferation of strategic weapons and will engage with others to ensure the broadest possible application. The two leaders shared the view that Iran should never be in a position to destroy Israel. Wow, that's a big deal coming out of it, too. That's a big deal. Because Russia and China are very, very close buddies and friends. So if the fact that Russia agrees with the United States that Iran should never be in a position to destroy Israel is huge. That's a big freaking deal. That's a big headline right there. The two leaders agree that a future with an improved bilateral relationship between the United States and Russia has huge upside. This includes enormous economic deals and geopolitical stability when peace has been achieved. That's excellent. That's great. Everybody should be very, very happy about that. Everybody should be thrilled about that. And another big thing you should be thrilled about is that Senator John Kennedy, working with Bobby Kennedy at HHS, has announced a major initiative to clean up infant formula. I'm sorry, Secretary Kennedy, not Senator Kennedy, Secretary Kennedy. A major initiative to clean up infant formula. So let me just give you a personal experience with this, because when you adopt children, breastfeeding is not an option. I tried many, many times, believe me, but I just couldn't. Anyway, so you have to get, you can milk anything with a nipple. So you have to get formula, and it's a racket out there. Baby formula is a racket. First of all, my son, Patrick, had a milk protein intolerance we didn't know about. It took us quite some time until finally they were able to figure it out. But we tried everything. Organic, we tried soy, we tried everything. Finally, we had to buy Neocate, which is a prescription-based, amino acid-based formula, which costs about the same as a car. That's the only thing that helped him, my son. My daughter Claire was fine with just, you know, the whatever the formula was they gave her at the hospital. I mean, yeah, you can buy breast milk online and all that stuff, but that's kind of a marketplace I'm not really too familiar with. And we thought about that, but we thought maybe that's not the best way to go. But anyway, but a lot of formula has crap in it. And U.S. formulas are currently required to contain seed oils, and many contain corn syrup as the first ingredient. Many moms face criminal penalties by importing safer formulas from Europe, for example, or other countries, because it's illegal to import baby formula. High levels of glyphosate and heavy metals are often found in formula. Secretary Kennedy is directing the Food and Drug Administration, under the direction of Marty McCarry, to start the first comprehensive update and review of infant formula nutrients since 1998. Increase testing for heavy metals and other contaminants. Extend the personal importation policy. Because that doesn't make sense to me why you can't import baby formula. That's ridiculous. I mean, if there's a better product out there, then you as a parent should be able to go get it. Work with companies to increase transparency and clearer labeling. Just don't forget, these products are approved by these other countries. It's not like it's just like Joe's baby formula, some guy in Kazakhstan selling it out of his basement. Collaborate with the NIH to address gaps concerning short and long-term outcomes associated with formula feeding in infancy and childhood across the lifespan. This administration is putting a stake in the ground that the U.S. will lead the world in the creation of healthy formulas for our babies. They're calling it Operation Stork Speed. Get it? Kind of cheesy, but I kind of like it anyway. Operation Stork Speed. Today, under the leadership of U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Secretary Robert F. Kennedy The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is taking steps to enhance its efforts to ensure the ongoing quality, safety, nutritional adequacy, and resilience of the domestic infant formula supply. You also remember that there was a time when we had a shortage in infant formula a few years ago. That was something that also had to deal with the FDA and their nonsense around bureaucracy, which needs to be streamlined as well, so that we don't have another baby formula shortage in the United States of America, because that should never happen in this country. Now, as we await the return of the astronauts by SpaceX, as they sent a capsule up there to get them, and this is a huge, huge story, the left hates Elon Musk so much that some crazy people threw Molotov cocktails at Teslas to try to burn them. So we have here now, this is from the FBI, if I can find it here. Let's see. I'm sorry, Matt, who is this now that you have?
This is Spencer Evans. He's the special agent in charge for the FBI's Las Vegas field office. And
okay.
In the clip, he basically promises to prosecute whoever is responsible for these Tesla fires.
Oh, let's take a listen. Got to hit play, though, first.
And specifically to those who might think that something like this is justifiable or potentially even admirable, we want to let you know it's a federal crime. We will come after you. We will find you and prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law. I encourage anyone that's considering something like this to seriously reconsider.
Now, the left 5 minutes ago loved Elon Musk. And yesterday on the show, we had our buddy Bill from Newsbusters Media Research Center on X at @band_Bill. And he put together a little montage. He did this himself, a compilation of the left praising Elon Musk. So since the left hates him today, and they're about to hate him even more because of the successful rescue of the astronauts from space, returning to Earth after 9 months, 9 months. Thank you, Elon Musk. Thank you, SpaceX. Thank you, President Trump, for making this happen. This is huge. But now the left hates him. Here's a little reminder of how the left used to love Elon Musk. Take a listen.
And I would argue that the new Jesus Christ of our era are Steve Jobs and Elon Musk, and it's important to have heroes.
The 47-year-old engineer has been called the real-life Tony Stark, better known as Iron Man.
Elon Musk, a.k.a. real-life Iron Man.
The guy is brilliant.
He is a genius, and at least for now, the world is better off having Elon Musk in it than not.
Elon Musk is one of the most interesting people in America. He's in the world, and I guess in the universe.
Elon Musk is doing things that may revolutionize transportation and climate change.
When somebody as staggeringly rich and staggeringly intelligent as Elon Musk talks, people listen.
Has there ever been a car salesman like Elon Musk?
Elon Musk is beyond a car salesman. I mean, he's more like a hero for a lot of folks.
Just today, we were given a glimpse of something of a miracle at sea, or as Elon Musk calls it, Tuesday.
Let's talk about SpaceX.
Okay, the launch this morning was glorious.
Speaking of wonderful, out of this world, incredible images from the first all-civilian orbit around Earth. A huge win for Elon Musk.
It's an amazing development that's going on. You got to give a lot of credit to Elon Musk. Elon Musk, he deserves a lot of credit.
Tesla founder Elon Musk says he knows the biggest threat to humanity, and he has a plan.
An immigrant to this country cemented his status as a leader in science and technology whose name may indeed belong alongside those of Edison and Jobs. Put another way, Elon Musk today showed the world how it's done.
Well, now, if you own a Tesla, you're about to get doxxed. So New York Post has this story that a website called DogeQuest is publishing the names, addresses, and phone numbers of Tesla owners across the United States, complete with an interactive map and a Molotov cocktail cursor. The site claims it will only remove personal data if owners prove they've sold their Teslas. This is all coming as a backlash, of course, to Elon and everything he's doing with Doge. I mean, this is insane. And why Elon Musk tweeted out a short time ago that the left is the party of violence and hate. And now they're burning Teslas and they're doxing people that own them. And this is crazy. This is who the left is. I mean, this is who they are. These people are angry, angry, petulant little children is what they are. Actually, I don't want to insult children like that. They're angry and they're petulant. And It's ridiculous. It really is. It's really insane. But Chuck Schumer's got problems. He's got real problems. You know, he voted to keep the government open because, again, for years, Democrats said if the government closes, people are going to die. They're going to die. We're all going to die. Everybody's going to die. Well, Sonny Hostin blasting Chuck Schumer to his face. I know it's painful to listen to The View. Sometimes, though, like a clip like this, you actually might enjoy it. Cut number one.
That's the question.
Sure. Hi. Governor Pritzker's chief of staff, Ann Caprera, has said the following. The fight going on in the Democratic Party right now is not between hard left, right, and moderate. It's between those who want to fight and those who want to cave. And it gives me no pleasure to say this to you because we are friends, but I think you caved. I think you and nine other Democrats caved. I don't think you showed the fight that this party needs right now because you're playing with by a rule book where the other party has thrown that rule book away.
True.
And so in my view, what you did really was in supporting that GOP partisan bill that Democrats had no input in, you cleared the way for Donald Trump and Elon Musk to gut Social Security, to gut Medicare, to gut Medicaid. Why did you lead Democratic senators to play by that book that the Republicans are not playing by?
Okay, first, I'd say, Sonny, no one wants to fight more than me and no one fights more than me. You got to fight smart.
You caved, Chucky boy. You caved. But again, I just have to remind myself, or remind you, I mean, they told us for years that shutting down the government was the worst thing you could do. Like, I'm fine with the government shutdown. I'm okay with it. I've said to you a million times over, there are good people in government who will protect our country even if the government is, quote unquote, shut down. Like, we'll be okay. We'll survive. We'll live. But the federal government is supposed to have limited functions. This is why when people say I hate, like conservatives hate the government or libertarians hate the government. Excuse me. The problem is our government does things the government was never intended to do. And it's really only supposed to do a couple things, particularly on the federal level. It's supposed to do a couple things. That's it. And it does way more than that, which is the part that we hate. And if we shut the government down, we actually could take a real look into what those things are, and we could get rid of those things once and for all, which would be kind of nice. But maybe he should step down. Maybe Chucky Boy should step down amid the spending bill fallout. Cut number two.
You know, my Senate caught first, you ask who's the leader. When we don't have a president, there are a lot of leaders. We have a lot of really strong talent in the Senate, in the House, in the governors. We have a great bench. Mm-hmm. But as for the Senate caucus, of which I'm the leader, I should be the leader. And let me just say this. One of the things I am known to be very good at is how to win Senate seats. In other words, I'm a strategist in terms of recruiting candidates, helping the candidates run campaigns and win. And look, winning in 2026 in the House and Senate, which could stop Trump once and for all, is vitally important.
That's cute. You don't have the majority, though, dummy. Right? Republicans have the majority. So if you're such a great strategist, how come you're the minority leader? This is he's not going to survive this. I'm telling you right now, he's not. He's done. He's toast. Which is funny, right? He's saying that they should keep him because he's able to keep Democrat senators, and the Republicans have the majority in the Senate. He's an idiot. That's your selling point? Your selling point is that you can get senators elected. How come you don't have the majority then? Hmm? But the other problem they have, though, right now is that they just don't have a clear leader of the Democrat Party. And they don't. Oh, maybe it's Tim Walz. He's coming for you. That's right. He's going to threaten you. I have great audio of this in just a moment. But here's Sarah Haynes on The View telling Chuck Schumer, you guys we don't have a leader. Cut three.
You mentioned, you know, this is what a leader does. And we were just talking in our last segment about we aren't seeing a clear leader of the party, because even though I agree with you with your decision and I see why, but you were only able to get nine Democrats to go with you. How is that leadership? Why?
Okay. Look, the bottom line is there were a whole lot of Democrats who were torn, and they on the one hand, people were clamoring, do something now, do something now. Now, do we have to act and do we have to fight these Republicans, this right-wing group,
the MAGA.
Not all
The MAGA. Now, let's cue up cut number nine. Just to show you how angry these Democrats are, MSNBC host Simone Sanders has actually now left the Democrat Party. All right, so just broadly here, they're throwing Molotov cocktails at Tesla's. Teslas. They are doxing Tesla owners. They're selling their Teslas. They are calling SWAT teams on conservatives and right-wing influencers. I hate the term right-wing, but you know what I mean. MAGA influencers, whatever you want to put it. And they're angry that the government didn't shut down. They're angry that Chuck Schumer showed bipartisanship and worked with Trump to keep the government open. Now, I'm the one who should be mad at Chuck Schumer because I would have been happy with the government shutdown. But they are so angry. The anger is real. Cut nine.
I didn't write down which page it was on, but within this document, $1 billion cut from Washington, D.C. I'm a D.C. resident, and I'm pissed.
Yep.
Okay, so, you know, there's actually little that the Senate minority leader can say and the 10 Democrats that voted with the Republicans can say to appease somebody like me. I'm about to change my registration to independent.
Oh, man, Simone Sanders, you are going to be missed. I'll tell you what. You are going to be missed with that kind of love and care and happiness. But remember something, though. The Democrats ran a big, goofy Midwestern doofus named Tim Walz as their VP, and he wasn't able to get the job done. They did not pick the popular Pennsylvania governor, Josh Shapiro. I'm not saying they would have won, but why didn't they pick the popular governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro? I know why, because he's Jewish. Right, that's why. Whether he wants to admit it or not, you know that's the case. They needed a white guy on the ticket to balance out Kamala Harris. They had a couple options. One is the angry astronaut. So the angry astronaut, Mark Kelly, who's now burning his astronaut suit in protest because Elon Musk is saving these stranded astronauts, they were going to go with him. And I think he would have been a better choice than Tim Walz. Then they're going to go with Josh Shapiro. But Shapiro's Jewish, so you can't go with Josh Shapiro because there are too many people in the Democrat Party that hate the Jews. That's why Chuck Schumer had to cancel his book on anti-Semitism, his book tour, because his party is literally the party of anti-Semitism right now. Okay, so that didn't work. Then they talked about Gavin the Hair Newsom, but they thought, well, he's too arrogant and his hair is too beautiful and he probably didn't want to do it anyway. So they went with Tim Walz and he's angry at you. He's angry at you because you don't think he's man enough. And he's got a, he even says a curse word in this because, you know, nothing says manliness like cursing. Oh, wait, what are you telling me? What's worth noting, Matt DeSantis?
Oh, I was just going to say, Schumer was bragging about being this amazing strategist, but we should point out that Jeanne Shaheen, the senator from Maine, and Gary Peters, the senator from Michigan, have already announced that they're not running for re-election in 2026. So both those races in Maine and Michigan are going to be, I would imagine, hyper-competitive. So not great for Schumer.
Not great for Schumer at all. I think Michigan's a seat we can win.
Maine's?
Oh.
I mean, that's,
you know who should run for that is Tudor Dixon. She should run for that.
There was a rumor that Pete Buttigieg was going to run for it as well.
Yeah, but he's not going to run, right?
No, he's interested in running for president now. That's the hot rumor. Doesn't want to run for the Senate seat in 2026, wants to run for president in 2028.
He loved the Top Gun volleyball scene, just for the record.
Oh my.
What? No, Tudor Dixon should run for U.S. Senate in Michigan. She didn't beat Gretchen Whitmer, but she's got statewide name ID. She's great. She's fantastic. She should run for that. That'd be good. Maybe she's thinking about it. Also, but here's before we go, what's that?
Oh, I was going to say, I know the rumors are still going that he may run for senator, but how is he? Is he even a resident of Michigan? Buttigieg, he was a resident of Indiana until like 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, no, they don't care. They carpetbag. They don't care about that. Yeah. I mean, don't forget, Hillary Clinton became the senator from New York. So.
That's a good point.
You know. But Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, has a final message for you before we take a quick break. And you Trump supporters, just so you know, take a listen.
This notion of fight it. This notion of
tax. I think I can kick most of their ass. I do that. I know I can outrun them, but I don't know if we're going to fall into that place where we want to. Okay, we challenge you to a WWE fight here.
Let's do it. Let's have a WWE fight with the Midwestern doofus who flails his arm like Richard Simmons and puts tampons in the boys' room. I'll take that challenge every day of the week. Absolutely. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. And we are streaming live on YouTube for you. Join in the fun and join in the chat on YouTube. And thanks to the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey for sponsoring our happy hour. Our first show of the year will be June 20th. Make your reservations now for your summer vacation. Those rooms will sell out. The hotel sells out every summer. And you definitely want to be there because it's a lot of fun. It is the place to be. My happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We're coming right back.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Talk Radio 1210's 8th Annual Radiothon. Benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. Presented by Edelman's Coins. It's this Friday, March 21st. Listen from 6 a.m. till 7 p.m. for special guests, surprises, and fun. And help the Travis Mannion Foundation empower veterans and families of the fallen. And unite the community. Unity through service. Listen all day this Friday on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app. Thanks to our sponsors, Edelman's Coins, Philadelphia's local bullion dealer, AMC Heating, Plumbing, and Air Conditioning. Now hiring experienced technicians. Veterans encouraged to apply. Visit amcontheweb.com. Tillman Builders. Love your home again with a Tillman Builders renovation. Stockwell Elastomerics, where careers are made and ownership is earned. The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
So, the judges, and now you got Chief Justice John Roberts weighing in on the matter as well. So, welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It is it's Tuesday. It's a busy day. We're still waiting for the release of the JFK files. I hope that they happen. I really do hope they happen, of course, during this show. That would be really nice. But anyway. Let's talk about the judges and what's happening right now with the courts. So first of all, the Chief Justice today, John Roberts, issued a rare public statement today, which includes the following. He said, for more than two centuries, it has been established that impeachment is not an appropriate response to a disagreement concerning a judicial decision. All right. Senator Mike Lee, who is a stalwart constitutionalist, unlike John Roberts, said the following. Impeachment is a non-justiciable political question assigned by the Constitution to Congress, one of the two political branches of the U.S. government, and not to the courts. Frankly, I'm surprised that Chief Justice John Roberts is publicly opining on such matters. So let's break down what happened here. So President deports these scumbag Trende Aragua criminals who nobody thinks should be in this country. Nobody thinks that. Nobody wants Trende Aragua violent criminal thugs in this country. No one wants that. Except for this judge. This judge is auditioning for a seat in the Supreme Court. So this judge says, I demand you keep these people in the country. Issues in order. And the president says, well, the plane's already over international waters. You don't have the right to stop me. And he's right. The judge doesn't. Just like the judge can't stop him. If the commander in chief is ordering a missile strike on a country, a judge can't get in the way and stop the president when he's exercising his rights as the president under the law when it comes to international affairs. For example, I'll give you another analogy. While Article 1 is very clear on the fact that Congress has the power to declare war, there's something called the War Powers Act. You know this. The president has the ability to use the American military for a period of, I think it's 90 days, and has to send a letter to Congress justifying and notifying them, and then, you know, it's subject to their review and everything else. We have not had a declared war in this country since World War II. So we've had resolutions, the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, which is Vietnam. We had Desert Storm was a resolution. We had the War on Terror resolution. I mean, these things. So we all know that, right? But imagine if a federal judge got word that the president was going to invoke the War Powers Act and use it to blow up a terrorist ship off of the United States coast. And let's say it was 12 miles off the coast of the United States, and so it was in international waters. Can a judge do that? Of course not. Nobody would think that a judge could do that. So what's the difference between that and the president using powers given to him by Congress to remove people that are dangerous to this country, who are illegal immigrants, who do not have constitutional protections. This is not internment camps. What Roosevelt did, that he did that to American citizens. He didn't even invoke the Alien Act of 1798, but that's beside the point. How come a judge can try to stop the president from removing criminal thugs who don't belong in this country, but a judge could not stop the president from ordering the Navy, say, to take out a ship full of, say, drug cartel members who are planning to attack the United States of America? I mean, if you take this to the limit, why couldn't a judge stop the commander in chief? Why not? I'm a federal judge. I got wind of the fact that you just ordered the Navy to take out this ship of pirates. Not the Barbary pirates right now, but they're drug pirates, and you just ordered the Navy to go take them out. I'm putting an injunction on you. That'd be nuts. That'd be crazy. So when Mike Lee is talking about impeachment of this judge, what Mike Lee is saying, which is correct, is that the issue of impeaching a judge is not left to the courts. It's left to the Congress. It's like the issue of impeaching a president is left to the Congress and not to the courts. The courts are not there to act as in a check on the executive. The courts are not there to act as a check on the legislative branch either. The courts have a limited job to do under Article 3 of the Constitution, but what's very important to understand about this, though, is that ultimately it is the Congress that has the check on both the executive and the judiciary vis-a-vis the impeachment clause. There are two political branches of government. One is the executive, elected by all the people of the country through the Electoral College, and then the other is the Congress, elected by the representatives, and at the time of the Congress of the Constitution, of course, by the states. Now we do it by the popular vote, but still, the states. So you have 100 senators and 435 members of Congress, and brings us to a grand total of 535 politicians. Some good, some great, and a bunch of total a-holes, too. The court, nobody elects these people. They're appointed to a lifetime appointment on the Supreme Court. These federal judges are there because they're political animals and they all want to be on the Supreme Court. And they're trying to show off right now by trying to stop President Trump at every single turn. So what does Congress do if there's a rogue judge who's going out of control? I mean, does John Roberts think that the impeachment clause is only there if, like, a judge is drunk? If a judge is going out, maybe flashing at spring break or something, that's why the framers put the impeachment clause in the Constitution? Because is that it? No, it's because if Congress felt like a judge was actually not following the Constitution, then the people's branch of government has the ability to remove that judge. It is a check on the judiciary. But hey, why not just ignore the courts anyway? Isn't that what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said? She did. We have the clip. We have the audio. Biden should ignore the court. Now, he did ignore the court on many different things over the years. You just didn't hear outrage and screaming about it, but we've talked about this on the show before. But here's the future senator from the state of New York. Take a listen.
There has been thought, I believe, given to this. Senator Ron Wyden has already issued statements, for example, advising what we should do in a situation like this, which I concur, which is that I believe that the Biden administration should ignore this ruling. I think that we, the courts
what?
Have the legitimacy and they rely on the legitimacy of their rulings. And what they are currently doing is engaged in an unprecedented and dramatic erosion of the legitimacy of the courts. It is the justices themselves, through the deeply partisan and unfounded nature of these rulings, that are undermining their own enforcement.
So you're saying the Biden administration should ignore this court, but what does that look like? What does that actually mean?
You know, I think the interesting thing when it comes to a ruling is that it relies on enforcement. And it is up to the Biden administration to enforce, to choose whether or not to enforce such a ruling.
But is that.
Wow. So what you're saying here is ignore the courts, AOC, right? I just want to make sure I heard that with my good ear. Ignore the courts. And since the issue is enforcement, what she's saying, what she goes on to say to Anderson Cooper in that clip is they shouldn't enforce it. Uh-huh. So, you know, people take Andrew Jackson out of context. I talk about this. I've talked about this before. The question of the issue of, you know, the Chief Justice has made his ruling. Now let's see him enforcement was President Jackson's point at the time that the court does not have an enforcement mechanism. He would ultimately go on to say that the Supreme Court is the final arbiter on these matters. And people sometimes leave that out when they talk about President Jackson. But the what AOC just said right there is very Jacksonian. Is it not? In the sense of, well, I mean, it's an enforcement issue, right? The court can't enforce it. So the Biden administration has to enforce it. So we should just ignore it. We should just ignore these courts because the justices are damaging their own branch of government. So we should just ignore the rulings of the court. That's what she's saying. All right, quick break. We're coming right back. It is it's a big show. We still got more to come. Hopefully the JFK files. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We're waiting on the JFK files. I am not particularly confident we're going to get them before we go off the air at 7. But, hey, we'll see. We'll see if they come out. If they do, we'll certainly have some breaking news for you. That's for sure. So stick around for the fourth hour. The SpaceX Dragon has reentered Earth's atmosphere. So that's good. That means that those astronauts will be rescued, which is fantastic. Great news. SpaceX, and they're getting it done. They're getting the job done. Look, on this issue of judges, okay, the Constitution, Article 3, which is the one that has the courts, I'm just going to share a little bit. I don't want to read the whole thing because it's kind of boring, but the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. The judges both of the Supreme and inferior courts shall hold their offices during good behavior and shall at stated times receive for their services a compensation which shall not be diminished during their continuance in office. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution, the laws of the United States, and treaties made or which shall be made under their authority, to all cases affecting ambassadors and other public ministers and consuls, to all cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction, to controversies to which the United States shall be a party, to controversies between two or more states, between a state and citizen of another state, between citizens of different states, between citizens of the same state claiming lands under grants of different states, and between a state or the citizens thereof and foreign states, citizens, or subjects. Now, there's nothing in here, again, that says that the court shall also be a check on the executive's use of power. In all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, and those in which a state shall be party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. In all the other cases before mentioned, the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction, blah, blah, blah. The trial of all crimes shall have a jury, except for matters of impeachment. And it goes on about treason. But there's nothing in here about being a check on the power of the president as the commander in chief. It's not in here. It's not in Article 3 of the Constitution. It's not. Okay. Now there is under Article 2 of the Constitution, which establishes the executive, Section 4 of Article 2 says the president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. And the power to do the show is left to the Congress. Congress has the power of the impeachment, obviously, as we know. And that includes impeachment of all officers of the United States, to which judges count as officers of the United States. But more broadly, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the commander-in-chief using powers given to him by who? The Congress of the United States of America. Right. The Congress of the United States of America gave the president this power. This is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. It's that time of year again. Springtime's here. So think about getting that beautiful smile you deserve. Here's the text of the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. It's pretty clear. Ready? Be it enacted by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, that whenever any invasion or predatory incursion shall be perpetrated, attempted, or threatened against the territory of the United States by any foreign nation or government, And the president of the United States shall make public proclamation of the event. All natives, citizens, denizens, or subjects of that hostile nation or government, being males of the age of 14 years and upwards, who shall be within the United States and not actually naturalized, shall be liable to be apprehended, restrained, secured, and removed as alien enemies. That is the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. Now, does it say subject to a judge is okay? Is that in the text of the law? No. No. Does it say that any of those people have the right to due process? No. Does it say that any of those people who are mentioned here in the act get to have a federal district court judge step in and hear their side of the story? No. No, it didn't say that. No, it didn't say that. Now, since they're not naturalized, that's a very important point, because naturalized would then imply and would demand due process. These individuals don't get due process rights because of the fact that they are not naturalized citizens. They're not citizens of the United States. They're not here in that sense. They are declared enemies once the president makes that public proclamation. Now, what is the check on that? Very simple. The check on that is the Congress. If the Congress feels that the president is abusing his power, then the Congress has the ability to impeach the president. It's not that complicated. It really isn't. If you just read the rule book, it's all right here in the Constitution. It's not that hard. Not that hard. But nothing in the text of the law passed by Congress in 1798 says, subject to a federal judge saying it's okay. All right? Subject to a federal judge saying it's okay. It's not there. It's simply not there. All right, we got a big fourth and final hour for you straight ahead. I want to tell you about my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding. They do great work. Great job. I'm so proud of the work that they do. You know, we've used Emmons in two different houses over the last 10 years. And they've replaced our roof, windows, doors, siding, you name it. Emmons has done it for us. That roof on your house is going to be amazing. You're going to get a lifetime warranty on that roof with the best in the business, Owens Corning Shingle. You're also going to get the beautiful work and craftsmanship that Emmons is known for. They serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to Emmons today. You'll get a 10% off inflation relief discount. 10% off inflation relief discount. That's what you want to do, is reach out to Emmons today by going to emmonsroofing.com. We use them to remodel our bathroom, too. They also have a bathroom remodeling division, and they did a great job. Happy wife, happy life. Bridget was thrilled with the work that they do. So put your trust in Emmons, just like I have all these years.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.